Romans chapter 8, the verses that we just read. I've titled this message, "They Are the Sons of God." Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's who the sons of God are. That's what the Holy Spirit's writing to us here, what he's telling us. That those are led by the Spirit of God, that's the ones that are the sons of God. Because God leads his people by his Spirit, the indwelling of his Spirit. When he saves folks, in the experience of grace, when he regenerates folks, he indwells them with his Spirit. This is the impartation of the Spirit of God, of Christ, quickening, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, "You hath he quickened, given of his Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory." He dwells and abides in his people. That would be a good thing for me to remember all the time, if he would bless me to do that. That would prevent me from doing a lot of things, saying a lot of things that I regret later. But we're not vividly conscious of this all the time. But we need to remember that if we indeed are believers, if we know Christ, he dwells in us. He is in us. The believer is a son of God. What a privilege. Just think about that for a few minutes. Let that soak in. We are sons of God. Sons of the living God. Children of God. We're his children. He's our father. We're his children. Christ our brother. Isn't that a great honor? What greater honor could there be than being a child of God, child of the King? "Once I was clothed in the ranks of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But then God in mercy and grace came to me and revealed to me, came to abide with me, and now I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, spiritual veins, not these veins. A child of God." Oh, how we should respect our title. He has given us that title, that name. Do you know what your name and mine is for his? Many names given in scriptures, but one of the names that is just so outstanding. "Their name shall be called the Lord, our righteousness." Sons of God, not as the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only begotten of the Son of God. He's the only begotten of the Father. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He's a part of the triune God. Or how shall I say it? He is every member of the Godhead is equal in person and power and in glory. And there, it's a great mystery. It's a great mystery, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's only one Son of God by eternal origination. And what I mean by that is there, he has no origin. He has no beginning. When we speak of origin, that means there's a beginning place. And he is of eternal origin. There was never a time when he was not the Son of God. He was manifest in the flesh in time. In Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And he sent him to do something. He sent him to redeem them that are under the law. Therein is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ and redemption in him. He's identified this way in Isaiah. Oh, I just love to try to identify the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best way to identify him is speak of him as the scriptures speak of him. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son is given to us, a son. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. What government? The government of the universe. The government, the rule of all things. That, the government in heaven, the government in earth, the government in hell, the government everywhere. It's his government. He's the president. He's the mayor. He's the senate. He's all. He makes all the decisions. And he executes those decisions. Do you know why? His name is called Wonderful. A preacher friend of mine made this comment once. He said, don't ever call anyone wonderful other than Christ. He now said, if somebody bakes apple pie and it's good, you can say that pie is wonderful. Or things of that nature, but he said, don't never call anyone wonderful except the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone, that's his name, Wonderful. It's kind of like Reverend. I was over at the boat dock the other day, and this fellow come up. I've seen him over a few times, and he walked up to the caretaker's wife, and he said, I'm Reverend so-and-so. And I was sitting there, I didn't say a word. And he walked over to me and he looked at me, and Patsy said, this is Tommy Robbins. He's a preacher too. And I said, well, glad to meet you. He said, glad to meet you. I'm Reverend so-and-so. I said, I'm Tommy Robbins. Glad to meet you. Don't call me Reverend. If you ever write me, don't address the envelope, Reverend. I don't like that. I'll probably just throw it in the trash. I'm not Reverend. Holy and Reverend is his name. I'm a servant. I'm a servant by the will of God. I'm not saying, Paul said this, and I can say it. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. He said, I'm least of all the apostles. I'm least of all the saints. And you that know me, some of you know me a long time. I'm like an old shoe now. I've been on your foot so long, under your feet so long, you know me good. I'm the least of all. Least of all. Least of all the saints. He's wonderful. Holy and reverend is his name. He's the counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. I introduced this message in this way so that we wouldn't confuse. I know I wouldn't any of you here, I don't think, but we're not all Jesus Christ's. I'm not Jesus Christ and you're not Jesus Christ. We're not the Son of God as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. We're sons of God. We're not God. We're not Christ. Believers are sons of God by spiritual birth and by adoption. We're sons of God by birth, spiritual birth, born again, born from above, was born the second time. If you're a child of God, you've been born twice. You was born when you come from your mother's womb. Paul said, I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb. He said, I'm glad my mother had me. And the reason she had me is because God purposed she had me. And called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. The Lord told Nicodemus, he said, You've got to be born again. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't know God. You can't go to heaven unless you're born the second time. And Nicodemus, I don't know if he's being sarcastic. You know, I've heard all these stories. Whatever you think, and I think, it's not going to make any difference. But Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus knew a man couldn't be born when he's old. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Well, any fool knows he can't do that. How can these things be? How can these things be? We're born from above. We're spiritually dead. We're spiritually non-existent. And God gives us life. He gives us of His Spirit. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're raised. We're raised from death to life. We are Christ's brethren by His incarnation. The Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. God became flesh, according to John chapter 1, 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He became what we are, sin accepted. He didn't become sin until He died on the cross. And then He becomes sin. But in his birth, in His incarnation, He became flesh. That's what we are. And in our spiritual birth, we became spirit. It took both. He must be made flesh. We must be made spirit. He must be made flesh. We must be given of His Spirit. He must die. We must live. Just as sure as the Lord Jesus Christ died, all those whom He died for must live. If He died, they're going to live. If He arose, they're going to live. And He died and He arose. And we live. We're sons of God by His incarnation, by our spiritual birth and adoption. We are joint heirs with Christ. What did God give Christ? Everything. As a man. And there's a lot of mystery still here for me. I don't understand very much, Terry. I'm still, like the old preacher used to say, I'm still in the ABC class. I guess that's kindergarten now. I'm still in kindergarten. But God gave Christ everything. Not that He didn't have everything, but He became flesh. He'd never been flesh before. And He made Him flesh. And as a man, as flesh, He inherited all things. He died, and He arose from the dead. And He inherited all things. And the Scripture said all things are yours. We're joint heirs with Christ. And He's not ashamed to call us brethren. 2 Peter 1:4 says we're partakers of the divine nature. We're sharing it. We're joint heirs with Christ. So whatever is Christ's is mine. Now I can't imagine that. I can't comprehend that. But whatever Christ is mine. He's raised Christ up and set Him together. Set Him at His right hand. And He's raised us up together in Christ and set us in heavenly places in Christ. And everything's His. Everything belongs to Christ, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm a son of God. I'm Christ my brother. And I'm joint heirs with Him. So all of those blessings, see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of glory, is very, very free with what He possesses to all of those who are His sons, who are His children. He's very free. He don't withhold anything. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it is, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is His sons, His children. We are the sons of God by our identification with Him and in Him. We're identified. The Lord Jesus Christ is identified. He identified Himself with us. That is an amazing thing. He identified Himself with us. That's what He came to the world to do, to be identified with us. And we now, by birth, are identified with Him. How do we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. Who prays to the Father? The children. Holy and reverend, hallowed be Thy name. He identified Himself with us, and we identify ourselves with Him. God's children are identified in Him. They have the life of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, which are one and the same. We are sons of God. In 1 John 5:12, he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. That's our identification. As we read in our text and context this morning, they who are led by the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you know what leads you naturally in this world, naturally speaking as a man? The Spirit within you. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of the life of the flesh leads you. That unseen thing in you, that life that dwells in your body leads you. It got you out of the bed this morning, got you dressed, got you here to this place. That's Spirit of life, physical life, that the Lord made reference to in John chapter 1, that lights every man that comes into the world. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That natural life. The spiritual man, the sons of God, what leads them? Life. The Spirit of life. We live. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean acting weird, laying down the floor and wallowing, jumping over pews, having visions and hallucinations. And revelations and visions and all these things. Being led by the Spirit of God simply is Christ living in you in truth. Being alive spiritually. Being led by God. And I want to broaden this a little bit, if that's the right term. Romans 8:11, this passage that we read, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if He dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now this has two implications here. number one is this, or one of them this. I don't know which would come first. But someday, this mortal body shall be quickened in the resurrection. And secondly, that even as we live in this world, in this body of death, in this flesh, Christ in us, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, quickens us. Quickens us to look to Him, to worship Him, to do according to His good will and pleasure. We're not left unattended in this world, neither spiritually or inwardly or outwardly or physically. Man devises ways, but God directs his steps, and this does not exclude the believer. He is our Father, and we're His children, we're His sons. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know you not that the Spirit of God, don't you know, don't you understand that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the riches of this glory, this mystery among sinners? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you ever worshiped? Do you believe? Do you seek the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire for Him? Do you want to know Him and love Him and follow Him and believe? Do you really want to? Do you know why you do? If you do, it's because you're led by the Spirit of God. That's what the Spirit of God does, leads us to Christ. Christ in you. He was made a partaker of our flesh. We are made partakers of His Spirit. He is made one with us, and we are made one with Him. You see, we're sons of God by our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not sons of God because we come to the front of a Baptist church or any kind of church and knelt at an altar. We're not sons of God because we've made a decision. We're not sons of God because we believe certain doctrines. We're sons of God because He beget us. Because He gave us life and the Spirit of God dwells in us. In John 17, 20, verses 20 through 23, in John 17, our Lord said, neither I pray for these alone. He was praying for His disciples. But for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. Those that will believe later on down the road in 2008. Those that will believe on Me through their word that I've inspired them to write. The word of God. That they all may be one. As Thou, Father, are in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, and the glory which You gave Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, Christ in them, and You in Me, God in Christ, that they may be made perfect in one. Now, how much more perfect could you be than Christ being in you and God being in Christ, and we're all in God? How much more perfect could we be? And the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. God loves His sons. He loves His children. He loves his children more than I can express, or that can be expressed. I'll tell you how much he loved us, and I can't grasp all of this either. But he loved us enough to kill his son for us. Do you know what we want to do if somebody killed our son? We want to kill them. But he killed his son for us. You say, well, I thought sinners, evil men, killed Christ. They did. But God delivered him into their hands. He's God's sacrifice. And he's my sacrifice. How much does God love me and you if we're his sons? Look at Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. That's foolishness to the world. Don't make a bit of sense. What we need to be doing is telling people how to live a better, victorious life. How to be an asset to society. No, we need to tell folks of Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and all the children of God are an eternal, chosen, spiritual family. In Ephesians 3:14-17, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. I'm named after him. You know, you don't hear it much anymore, but a lot of folks named their children Junior, the boys Junior. Clyde Jr. or Horace Jr. or Richard Jr. We're named after the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We're sons of God. We're his sons. And we're his sons because of his love for us, his everlasting, sovereign, efficacious love. His love is effectual. His love makes things happen. You know, no matter how much I love you, I can't make you love me. Have you ever tried to make somebody love you? Give it up. It ain't going to happen. You do everything you can think of. You be every way that you thought they want you to be. You've tried every way. You've just exhausted yourself to make them love you, and they still don't love you. It cannot be done. But I know one, that his love is effectual. We love him because he first loved us. Because. Why do I love him? Because he loved me. That makes his love effectual, don't it? That's saying his love's effectual. Because he loved me, I love him. Oh, 1 John 3:1. Behold. Study about this. Look at it intently. That's what that word behold means. Look at it for a while. Sit still a while. Think about it. Mull it over. Consider it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Who is? Those he loves. Those are led by him. The world don't know us, but it didn't know him. The world thinks they know us. The world thought they knew him. The world thinks they know him. But they don't. But we know him. And he knows us. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's life. That's the essence of a believer's life, is knowing Christ. I know whom I believe. I know him. I know him. He knows me. That's the most important thing. If he knows me, then I'll know him. Jeremiah 31:3 says, it's all because of his love. All because we're sons of God, because he loves us. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Does he just love me when I do something good? I hope not, because I ain't never done nothing good. There is none that doeth good. That's what Scripture says. Sometimes I think I do. Sometimes I feel like I do. Sometimes I pat myself on the back and expect others to. I'm just telling you how it is. And you're the same way. You are the same way. Don't deny it. You are. But there ain't nothing lovable about me. I've never done nothing. Never done nothing right. Never. But he loved me with an everlasting love. Unlovable. He don't just love me when I do something right, because I never did. When did he love me? He never didn't love me. There was a time when he didn't love me. Mr. Spurgeon preached a sermon once on the love of God. And after he got through preaching, this lady made her way up. Thousands of people came to hear him. And she made her way up. She wasn't going to leave till she told him what she wanted him to know. She made her way up and finally got up to where she could talk to him. She said, I just want to tell you something. She said, I know that if the Lord loves me now, such a vile person as I am, that he must have loved me from all eternity. Because there ain't nothing in him now, in me now that caused him to love me. And how right she was. He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. We're his sons because of his everlasting love. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now. He's talking to those beloved of the Father. Those chosen. Those elected. Those ordained into eternal life. Those he loved with an everlasting love. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. That's what John said. He's saying, brethren, I want to tell you something. God's telling you something. We're the sons of God. Right now. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Not all the particulars. What exactly how it'll be. It don't appear exactly how it'll be, how we'll be. All of the particulars. That's what he's saying. But we know that. We know this. We know this because God told us this much. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How? Sons of God. For we shall see him as he is. We'll see him as he is. We'll be like him. We'll be without sin. We'll be have his righteousness. We'll be like him in that sense. We'd be clothed with his righteousness. We'd be without sin. We're now the sons of God. Notice the word beloved. Hang on to that word a moment. And remember the phrase, we shall be like him. In 2 Peter 1:17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. The Lord Jesus Christ received from his Father honor and glory as a man. He pleased God. He fulfilled the law. He put away sin. He came and he did his Father's will. He did all that the Father sent him to do. He received from God the Father honor and glory. when there came a voice from the excellent glory saying, "This is my beloved Son. Beloved, now we are the sons of God." Isn't that what John wrote? The Lord Jesus Christ is beloved of the Father, so are all of His children beloved of the Father. In whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to tell you something. As Don Fortin says, now listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're His son, if you're His child, He's pleased with you. You say, well, that don't make sense. It don't make natural sense, but it makes scriptural sense, spiritual sense. He's pleased with all of His children. Why? Because they're His sons. And we're just exactly as he wants us to be. We're without sin. We don't have any sin. The Lord put it all away. Christ put it all away. We don't have any sin. And we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're righteous. Don't have any sin in the sight of God. Now, when I look at me, I say unrighteous. When I look at you, I say unrighteous. I know you, and I know me. We're a mess. And if I ask you right now, any of you, are you a sinner? You'd say, yeah. But not in Christ. Not in Christ. He's well pleased. We're beloved. His children are beloved. He loves us. We were by our fallen, depraved nature the children of wrath, even as others. Children of wrath, children of sin, even as others. But God, aren't you glad for those but gods in the Scripture? Gives a commentary on this flesh, tells us exactly how we are, puts us down in the mire and the muck of depravity and sin, and then but God. That means something changing. God's not going to change, but He's changing us. He's showing us something. But God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Now listen to this next phrase. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. We're sons of God. Children of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sin. Loved us even when we were dead in sins. That means that's all it was about us. In us and outside us. And we just sin inside and out. In every respect. He loved us then. Do you know who Christ died for? He died for the ungodly. Do you know who Christ calls to Himself? Not righteous men, but sinners. But all those unrighteous men, women, boys and girls that He calls, all those He calls are His children. He said, I'll say to the east give up, to the west give up, north give up, south give up. He'll say, I'll call my sons and daughters from far. I'll call them. They're mine. He told Jacob, Israel, He said, I've formed you. I've created you. You're mine. I've named you. You're mine. I've created you for my glory. Do you know what God's saying in essence to the whole, and what He will say to the heavenly host and all of the world and everything's created? He's going to look at you and me. We're His children. He's going to show us off. Say, look there. That's my son. He's mine. And we're going to be glorious in His sight. We're made kings and priests unto God. He's going to purify in Himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. He's going to show us off. Because He loved us. We were dead in sins. By grace are you saved. And He's quickened us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Secondly, because of His love. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are led to the Word of God. Do you know that all of those that are His children that he loves. They're led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God leads us to the truth. You're going to believe the truth. You're going to believe the truth. You're going to believe the gospel, the real gospel. He's going to reveal Christ to us, the gospel. You're going to say, oh, I believe that. I believe that. He's going to give faith, life and faith. Christ is the object of the faith that God gives. Christ is revealed in his word, and he is the truth. He's going to reveal the truth. John 16:13, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, that is, when he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak of himself, but he's going to speak of me. He's going to speak of Christ, things to come. Be careful. And I know you are. I trust you are. But these folks are hung up on the Holy Spirit and not on Christ. Better watch them. Because the Spirit itself don't speak of itself. It speaks of Christ. And those that are always set forth the Spirit and the works of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit, sets forth that as the object and always out there. The Holy Spirit himself doesn't need to do that. The Holy Spirit speaks of Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to the sons of God. And Christ is the sum and the substance and the subject. The psalmist wrote this in Psalms 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. Lead me in thy truth. I want to know the truth. Don't you? I want somebody to tell me the truth. No matter what it does to me, says to me, reveals about me, or you, I want to know the truth. I didn't used to want to know the truth. But now I do. I want to know the truth. Why do I want to know the truth? Because I'm a son of God. And he's leading me that way. He's leading you that way. We want to know the truth. I want to hear the gospel. Every time I can, Jeff, I want to hear the gospel. I don't want to hear a lie. I want to hear the truth. I want to hear of Christ and redemption in him. The truth makes you free. Makes you free. I want to be free. There ain't nothing like freedom, is there? I want to be free. And if the Son's made you free, you'll be free indeed. I want to be free to worship God, free to know the truth, free to come to the throne of grace, free to follow Christ, free to bow before him. Oh, that freedom. Free in Christ. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. I'd rather wait all day to hear the truth than go somewhere real quick and hear a lie in you. Folks wonder why some of you drive 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 miles or 100. I don't know how far you drive. It's amazing. People just don't understand. My dad, I used to drive about 45 miles to church every Sunday. We'd drive to church. The kids were little. And we'd go home with somebody or lay down, take a nap on the pew and wait till service Sunday night. Dad just couldn't understand that. He said, you pay 75 churches going to that one. What in the world is wrong? I said, they ain't preaching what I want to hear. They ain't telling the truth. It's better to drive as far as you have to drive. Do whatever you need to do to hear the truth. That's why. Is that because we're led by the we're sons of God. We're led by His Spirit to the truth. He said, I'll lead him. Yeah, you can hear a lie right quick. You don't have to turn around twice to hear a lie. Sometimes you have to go to great lengths to hear the truth. Thy word, Psalm 119:105, thy word, the word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. Lord Jesus Christ goes right in front of us and he shines that light there where he Did you ever walk behind anybody in the woods in the dark? I used to walk behind my dad. He didn't care about the limbs. I loved him. He was my dad. But I mean, I've got back on my face and be bleeding. He just swipe through them limbs. They come back and just slap me in the face and tear me up. And I'd be ducking. I couldn't see him. And I've thought about it since then. He had a light, but it was in front of his feet. It wasn't in front of mine. I was looking way out ahead of him. I just miserable. But I loved him, and I wanted to follow him, so there I went. Boy, I wanted that light. I wanted to be near him. But I just thinking, boy, if he just put that light back there where me and him both could see. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's a light and a lamp to our pathway. The Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. There's that word again. Beloved of the Lord. Boy, he loves us, don't he? Just the older I get, the more that I'm seeing that God loved me. And the harder it is to take in that he loved me. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning. From the beginning. When was the beginning? I don't know. The scripture says the Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning. He's the Alpha, the Omega. Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. From the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Through the separation of the Spirit. By the work of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. And the work of the Spirit is to reveal Christ and give life. And I've got 4 or 5 more points, but I'm just going to read this passage and close. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14. But as it is written, as God has said, eyes not seen nor ear heard, the natural eye and the natural ear, not seen it or couldn't understand it, neither has entered into the heart of man. It's not even entered into his heart. It's a stranger to him. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And like I said earlier, we love him because he first loved us. We're his children. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Like salvation in Christ. The things of God, spiritual things. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We're born of that. He's saying that's not what I'm talking about. Not the spirit of the world or the wisdom of the world. But the Spirit which is of God. That's what we received in regeneration. That's what we received in our birth, our spiritual birth. Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Things freely given. Given freely. I knew a person one time, this person would never give anyone anything unless they had some strings attached to it. Now, if you ever get rid of it, I want it back. No, if you're giving it to me, it's mine. I ain't giving it back to you. I'm keeping it. You see, you put strings on something, attach strings to it, that's not any good. That's yours. About a year ago, we was given a gift. The person said, it's yours. Do what you want to with it. Sell it, burn it, enjoy it, whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. That's mine. Thank you. Didn't say I want it back. God's not an Indian giver. I can say it, I'm part Indian. But freely given to us of God, freely given. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They're foolishness to him. It's foolish. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They are the sons of God that are led by the Spirit. Led to Christ, led to the truth. Led in our daily walk. There is an unseen hand above that leads through ways I cannot know. Even when we're not aware, the farthest thing from our mind, we're yet led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that something? So I don't despair. Almost do. But I don't despair because I know He leads me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me beside the still waters. They are the sons of God. Let's bow our heads.